I got a few things on my spirit that I feel are relevant for tonight. And we're going through a book right now. Is that okay that I do that? Be a little more impromptu? We're going through a book right now in our men's Bible study and in our women's Bible study, I believe. Yes, we are. And it's called The Bait of Satan. And we're in chapter 6 right now. Is that correct? There was a question asked. The bait of Satan, specifically, it goes into talking about forgiveness, not holding grudges. And the enemy uses unforgiveness as a bait to Christians to draw you into a place in your life where you feel isolated and you feel alone, and ultimately you walk away from your walk with the Lord. Has anybody ever felt unforgiveness and kind of started down that pathway ever? Few hands in here. Few honest people in here. This Bible study, we've been going through this. Last night, there was a question asked, and I want to pose this question to everyone in the room, and I feel it's so relevant. Now, it's one thing to hold a grudge against the person sitting next to you, right? That's one thing. Here's another way of looking at it, and I'm giving Chris a plug right now. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, the men's Bible study is terrific. If you haven't made that meeting, please make it. Tuesday morning as well. Phil, raise your hand, wave. Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. to 8 o'clock sharp, we have breakfast. And he does a terrific Bible study as well. But there was a question asked, and I want to read this to you. When Jesus spoke something to his close followers that was hard to understand, many of them deserted him and went back to their old ways of life. In the same way, God will sometimes reveal things to us that we can't comprehend. When he does this, we have a choice to be offended by him or choose to trust him to explain it in his timing. And here's kind of a prelude to the question. Has God ever spoken something to you that has offended you or led you to do something that you didn't understand? Are you following me on this right now? Has God ever spoken something to you that offended you or led you to do something you didn't understand? What was it, and how have you dealt with it, what he said to do? So this is where a little bit of impromptu is. 3 years ago, let you into my mind a little bit, and then kind of head into what I feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. 3 years ago, I felt the Lord speak to me to leave my job, to leave an industry that I had been in my entire adult life, and to come and serve my Father and help. Be a help to him. When I heard that, when I felt the Holy Spirit speak that to me, I was mad. Because I had things, we all have this plan in our mind of who we are, what we're doing, this sense of accomplishment that, hey, I'm creating this. This is my idea. This is what I want. And then all of a sudden we come to this fork in the road where the Lord says, hold on a second. I know that's what you want, but what this is what I want. So that's 3 years ago. About 7 months ago, I came to this fork in the road. Looking back now, 7 months, I had health issues. I had a lot of blood clots. We'll just put it that way. A lot of blood clots. Couldn't breathe. My body, if I exerted myself at all, I felt absolutely horrible. So you ever been in a place where you're physically exhausted and it begins to lead into a place where your spirit is exhausted and you are forced to go to God because you don't know what to do? Nothing works. Nothing seems to click. Nothing seems to happen your way. And you're forced to this point where you just cry out to God, God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. Here we are 7 months later. And here I am, and I want to kind of jump into this now. 7 months later, I feel yesterday during the 8 days of hope, we're ministering at George's house, and I'm trying not to get choked up here, were ministering at George's house, and I feel a pause from the Holy Spirit and him say, "This is what I had for you." And I stopped there, and I'm thinking to myself, "This is what you had for me." And I felt such a peace and such a resounding peace in my spirit. How many of you know you can't buy peace? I had such a peace in my spirit and such a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving came over me. And I'm serving. And so tonight, I want to speak with you. Many backgrounds in the room, many walks of life, many different perspectives of life, many different backgrounds, but there's not a person alive that escapes the pain of life. The best dressed, the worst dressed, the most influential, the most non-influential, black, white, skinny, fat, straight, gay, bi, confused, people with money, people without money, no matter what your background is, you felt pain at some point. The people you want to be have issues. The people that you can't tolerate have issues. The people that you're envious of, we all have issues. People with parents, people without parents, people with a great background, with a bad background, they all have issues. Life is painful. Single people have issues. Married people have issues. Single people say, "If I could only be married." Married people, some at some point say, "If that he or she would please just stay away from me." We all face issues. Can I get an amen? So pain and issues and problems. Do we recognize what God is doing in and through us with that problem and that pain? What we're going through. We know that his word says that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Have you ever heard that verse before? Do you recognize what God is doing in your life? And that's my question for you tonight. Do you recognize what God is doing in and through you at this moment? I'm not suggesting tonight that God sends pain, but I am saying for those that believe, there is a promise. And tonight, if you're facing just pain and issues and calamity and problem, and this pain, you know, even in worship, Paige, you picked up on something. Someone is struggling. Someone is feeling a pain that is just undescribable. But we do have a promise. We have an assurance. We have a promise that if we love God and we're called according to his purpose, if we come to that place, that fork in the road, and we say, "God, I don't know what you have. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go, but I trust in you. If you tell me to go south, I'll go south. If you tell me to go up, I'll go up. If you tell me to go down, I'll go down. Whatever you have, my trust and my hope is in you." If you have that posture, if you have that thought process, he works all things for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. What is his purpose in what you're struggling with? So tonight, I'd like to spend a few minutes. And I'd like to draw from the witness of 2 Kings chapter 5. Are you with me tonight? Are you going there with me? Yes? Real briefly. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man. He was an honorable man. Man, when the word says that, that's something to look, just pay attention to. He was an honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Waited or served Naaman's wife. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask of you tonight. Holy Spirit, rest upon this house. Every spirit of division, every spirit of contention, every spirit of deceit, leave now. Go self-ambition. This is a holy moment. I ask you, Lord, to subtract and add to this text tonight, to move through your Holy Spirit. In essence, Lord, I ask you to preach this message tonight. Flow through this place. Breathe on this place, Holy Spirit. Make this a place where the captives are set free. I know you're able to do it. Make the text come alive in this room. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to, as I typically attempt, to put the text into context. The text is not written about kings or prophets, nor written about priests or pastors, but is written about the soldier, a captain of the host. Most of the Bible is written about seers and sayers, mountains of integrous proverbs conveyed and delivered to us in divine scripture. But here in 2 Kings, we are brought to an intimate place, the bedroom of the captain of the army, a private place where the strong and the victorious and the mighty rest, a place of privacy, a place where humans procreate, a place where humans refuel. And yet the glare of the Holy Spirit allows us to beam into the holy chamber of a man who has everything anyone could ask for by the human eye. Outwardly accomplished, successful, respected and revered by all who knew him, he appears to have it all together. Do you know people like this? Do you know people who they have, it's their point to make you think that everything in their life is all put together? It's so perfect. It's so picturesque. It's so wonderful. They walk, and when you see them, all you picture is all the perfection. And you look at your own life, and you make the, we do this. We compare. We make comparisons on our own lives and on their lives. And we say, how do they have it all together? But what the scripture begins to show us is that Naaman's household wasn't as put together as he portrays. His clothing set him apart from the rest. His headdress was different from the rest of the army. When he walked through the town, and if you study this portion of scripture, you'll realize that he was respected and revered by all who knew him. The people of the town that he lived in, they looked up to him. They thought, oh my Lord, what he has. But there's always a but. There's always a. Naaman's armor covered him. Naaman was not just a hero because of earning things the wrong way. He had earned his power, his title, captain of the host. He was a hero not because of a backroom deal or something he manipulated his way into. He had climbed to success with a sword and armor. He had earned the respect that he had. Footnote, you must climb your way to respect. Many people want respect with no sweat equity involved. Respect in a community is earned week by week, day by day. This week, I think of what we did. We earned respect in our community today. This week, we've earned respect among this community. People in this room have earned respect and influence. I can go around the room. Different people in this place, different people in this house that didn't just show up and say, here I am, respect me. But day in and day out, week in and week out, they've served. They've laid down their lives for people just like you and me. Naaman did that. He fought his way. He paid his dues. Naaman gained favor with the king of Syria. The king was indebted to him. Jewish studies show and suggest that it was through the arrow of Naaman that the king of Israel fell to his grave. So when the Bible alludes that it was through Naaman that Syria was set free and had power, it was because of Naaman's great and mighty fighting skills. Naaman had earned his position. Naaman was someone to be respected. But Naaman had a secret problem. Unseen by the masses, unseen by his fellow soldiers, unseen by those he walked with, he had his armor on, but when he went home, when you go home, stripped his armor off, something lied beneath his armor. He had leprosy. What do we hide beneath our armor? What do we hide? What do we fret? What if they knew? What if they found out? What if they knew what I thought? What if they knew what I did? What if they knew where I went? What if they knew what I did? There's always a but, isn't there? The only place Naaman could go and hide from his but was home. He had a secret issue. An issue he dealt with behind closed doors. I love God because God doesn't just deal with the things people can see, but he deals with the things they cannot see. He works in the things they cannot see. He works in our hearts and our spirits when we need it most. He works through the toxic, the wretched things of our lives. I love God because he's our God in the hills and the valleys. Amen? Thank you, Lord. As horrible as leprosy is, think of the distraction and the stress of hiding this flesh-eating disease in a very public position. That would be even more difficult than having leprosy. And I wanted to say this tonight. Don't be so quick to label people hypocrites. Don't be so quick to point a finger. Don't be so quick that when people show a little bit of their flesh, that's why people, they'll run from church. They'll let their guard down just a little bit. And unfortunately, people in God's house, they'll be the first ones to point a finger. Don't be so quick to call your brother or your sister a hypocrite. Be quick to grab an arm and say, let me help you. Be quick to lend a lending hand. I love this saying. I heard it a long time ago. People aren't hypocrites. They're just human. So Naaman goes home. He strips down. Takes his armor off. Walks in. And who's there? His family's there. This Israeli girl is there that he picked up. When he was fighting against the king of Israel, they took this girl captive. Naaman didn't care that this little slave girl saw him because who was she? She had no money, she had no power, she had no status, she had no title. She had no recognition. She had no country. She had no people. She was a slave. So when he went home and removed the armor and removed the facade and removed the show, come on, somebody. He didn't care. It's just a slave girl there. Took his armor off. She saw his leprosy. Sure, you can see it, slave. Because who are you? And despite society's view of her, God gifted her with something anyhow. Be careful how you treat people you don't think you need. Naaman was great because of what he did, but the little girl was great because of who she knew. She knew God could do what she could not in her own strength. You are great because you know who God is. people in the music department make me look much better than I am. Someone just said tonight how wonderful the music is, how terrific the music is. Debbie makes that happen. The drummer makes that happen. The singers make that happen. It's not just one that makes that happen. You're great because who you're around. Naaman, I don't want to get too far into the story, but Naaman begins to be great because of who he knows. He knows this little slave girl. He knows who she is. He doesn't know what she's capable of. We bring people up here. We don't know what they're even capable of. But we give them a place to serve. This week we gave people a place to serve. We be servants. We begin to see who we are. She knew that God could do what she couldn't. You are great because who you know. Do you know what God can do through you? No matter what people think of you, wish on you, hate on you, when God picks you, He will use you anyhow. And God normally begins to use us in small acts of service. The maid serves someone in man's eyes that doesn't deserve being helped. Isn't that something? Naaman takes this girl from her country, steals her from her land, her family, takes her from everything she knows, brings her into the house to serve the family. She sees something in Naaman. He has leprosy, flesh-eating disease. Naaman comes to this fork in the road. The maid comes to this fork in the road. I come to this fork in the road. You come to this fork in the road. Will you serve someone who hurt you? Will you bless someone who hurt? Will you humble yourself enough? This is what we do, right? That person hurt me. I don't want anything to do with them. That person hurt me. I'm leaving the coffee shop. That person hurt me. I see the need, but I run the other way. And God's bringing us to this point. God brings us to this point. What will you do with the person who hurts you? What will you do? How will you act? How will you conduct yourself with a person who hurts you? Naaman's there. How's Naaman there? He's the captain. How can he rely on this slave girl for a healing? How can the slave girl provide the healing? Watch this now. She had every right to hold a grudge. She was snatched away from her home, demoted to a slave, and had every reason to let Naaman's leprosy rot his flesh. The real test of greatness. What will you do when you have the advantage? Weakness has no options, but power is the testing ground here. The slave girl is given the power over the captain of the host. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is what I love about God. People can tell you who you are. Well, you're the counter person. You're the usher. You're the person that opens the door. And God can bring it all the way around full circle. He makes the least of these the greatest. He takes the slave girl, and God grabs her by the hand and says, come here. I know how they saw you. I know how they looked at you. I know what they said about you. I know how society views you, slave girl, but in spite of all that, come with me. I have something for you. I'm going to gift you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to empower you like people that are more qualified than you, people that went to Bible school, people who went to college, people who have more experience. They're more qualified, but here's what I'm going to do because you have a humble heart. I'm going to grab you by the hand, and I'm going to take you from the back of the line, and I'm going to move you all the way to the front of the line, and I'm going to make those who have power come to you and say, how do I get healed? How do I get ministered to? How do I get touched? I've been broken for so long. I've been hurting for so long. My flesh is rotting. My spirit is rotting. My heart is rotting. My mind is rotting. I need a touch from the Father's hand, and you're going to use her to do it? And here's where the intersection meets. She has a decision. Do I minister to the person who hurt me? Who took me, who enslaved me, threw me in the house? Do I serve Naaman? Do I? Do you? Do I? And Naaman has a decision to make. Watch this now. Watch what the scripture paints. Watch the description that the scripture paints. He says to Naaman through the scriptures, he says, Naaman, I'm going to use this servant girl. Are you with me now? I'm going to use this servant girl to minister to your need. Naaman, will you be humble enough to let this little slave girl minister to you? Blows my mind. Maid, servant girl, right here. The servant girl's right here. God says to her, will you be humble enough to minister to Naaman? I'm giving you the gift. I'm giving you the calling. I'm giving you the anointing. She's sitting here. Naaman's sitting here. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to let the maid minister to you. Will you let her minister to you? Has anybody ever been sent to minister to you that you said, oh, God, does it have to be that person? The maid saying that about Naaman, because here's the truth of the matter. She's still Naaman's slave. I hate him. He took me. And you know what Naaman's saying? He's full of pride. You know what he's saying? I hate her because I don't want to go to my slave after I said what I said, after I did what I did, and I got to go back to her for my healing. What's the Holy Spirit showing us through the scripture? He's showing us that Naaman has to become humble to find his healing in the maid. And you know what the maid has to do? She's got to find the humility to minister to Naaman after he hurt her. Healing and humility. God keeps sending Naaman. He keeps saying, Naaman, you got to go to the prophet. You got to go to the maid, the prophet Elijah. I'll get to Elijah, and I got another 5 minutes. Naaman keeps saying, oh, I'll write the king. The scripture says, oh, I'll write the king. I'll go see the king. The king owes me a deal. The king owes me a favor. The king owes me a deal. And the Lord keeps saying, you go see whoever you want to see. They can't figure it out. They don't have the keys. The maid's got the keys. Elisha's got the keys. And the maid's humble enough to say, hey, Naaman, here's the story. The maid's over here across the room. She's sitting in a corner in a humble place. And the maid says to Naaman, hey, Naaman, I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to speak out of line because I'm your slave. I don't want to say something I shouldn't, but there's a prophet in Israel. You know, the country that you just ran through and you took me from and you destroyed them and you killed the Israeli people. You know them people? And Naaman's going, yeah, I remember killing them and taking you from there and running through them, and I walked out of there. I'm large and in charge. I got it all together. Yeah, that's the place, Naaman. The maid said, yeah, that's the place, Naaman. Okay, well, here's the problem. You know that leprosy thing you're dealing with at home that nobody knows about, but it's coming to the fork in the road? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know what you're talking about, May. Don't be telling anybody about that. Well, here's the thing. You got to go to Israel. You got to get humble enough, is what she's telling Naaman, to go back to Israel, to the country you just ran through, for your healing. And Naaman said, oh, no, I'm going to write the king. I'm gonna send this one, and Elijah can come to me because I'm big and bad. And the Lord keeps saying, no, you want to go high and get your healing. You want to be arrogant and get your healing. You want to be stuffed up. You want a title to get your healing. And the Lord keeps saying, oh, no. Yeah, you're cool and everything like that. And I know you walk that way and you talk that way and your title's that way. But I'm going to take you down low. So you know what Naaman does? He does what any desperate person does. You know what he does? He goes. And my question for you tonight is, how desperate do you have to get healed? Do you have to get desperate, or would you rather just get humble? Oh, will I get healed in humility, or will I get healed in desperation? Will I get healed through my pain, or will I get healed through my teacher? Fork in the road. The servant girl is on divine assignment. She thought that Naaman took her. But God had her right where he wanted her. We say, order my steps, O Lord. Don't we say that so easily? Order my steps, O Lord. There's an old song. Are we good when the steps order us down? Are we good when he orders us to a cut in pay? A cut in pay. A cut in title. A cut in society's view. Are we saying, I trust you, Lord, through that? Or are we just saying, oh, I'll trust you as long as the steps go higher? And that's what God kept telling Naaman. You're not going higher, bro. And that's what I'm telling somebody in here tonight. You're not going higher. You want to get healed? You got to get humble. Brings us all to that fork in the road, doesn't he? Will I help the one who hurt me? Thank you, Lord. If you hold back what you can do, if a maid held back what she can do, God will hold back what he can do for you. So if you're holding the healing of someone else, you're holding your own healing. I believe it's a huge problem in ministry. People hold back because of their own agendas. You're no more deserving of the blessing you seek than the blessing you withhold from the person you hate. Oof. That's something, isn't it? You are no more deserving of the blessing that you keep. You're no more deserving than the blessing you need. So in essence, what I'm saying is, when we went out to that veteran's home today, you know how easy it is to pull up to a house like that? I'm not fixing his roof. I'm not fixing that foundation. And you know what the Holy Spirit's saying? Oh, yeah, that's what I want. Come on, let's go fix the foundation. Let's fix the roof. Because when you get done, I've got something for you on the other side. Because you were humble enough to take care of that. See, weakness has no power. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to be humble. Teach us to be meek. Teach us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't even know where I am in my notes. I'm all messed up here. I got the preaching there. What Naaman seeks is not in his comfort zone. what you seek, listen to this now, if you don't hear anything else, what you seek, the pain that you feel, the thing that you hide, the thing that you go home and you feel and you say, oh God, why do I think this way? Why do I act this way? Why do I do this? Is not in your comfort zone. Your healing's not in your comfort zone. The constant message that God is trying to teach Naaman is that his healing is in his humility. God said, I'll do it if you can humble yourself. I'll do it if you can take advice from the maid. I'll do it if you can go down to a place outside of your authority. Naaman wants his healing from kings and princes, but his healing's in a low place with prophets and maids and service. Closing point, closing tonight. Many of us are in a place of shifting season. Anybody feel that way? And just a place of shifting season. You know something's got to give. You know something's changed. I'll tell you what, I'll hold up two arms, two legs, all my toes, all my fingers. I am in a shifting season. Some of you are at the end of your rope. The maid is held captive at the end of her rope. Naaman is sick at the end of his rope. The end of your rope is different for everybody, isn't it? The end of your rope is different than the end of her rope, is different than the end of his rope. But he brings us to this place, both held by something that God has the answer for. He's pushing, don't you see it? He's pushing the storyline. Humility. Humility. Small acts of humility. Small acts of service. Small acts of willingness. Do you see it? Do you see it in... Stop for a second. Do you see it in your own life? Do you have humility mastered? Come on now. We don't. Will you be humble enough? Listen to this. Will you be humble enough to be freed into your destiny? He works all things for the good only when our hearts are right. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you tonight. God, we're just devoted to you. We just haven't gotten it right. We haven't gotten it perfect. We've said the wrong things. We've done the wrong. We've thought the wrong things. We've walked the wrong way. We've walked in arrogance and in pride and in self-seeking ambitions. And tonight, Lord, we just thank you by your Holy Spirit that you redirect us. And that our hearts are willing enough, like Naaman's heart, to say, okay, I'll go your way. Like the maid's heart, we'll go your way. Lord, I pray tonight that someone who's dealing with their form of leprosy, of their form of captivity, of their form of hurt, Lord, that you're pointing them back to yourself. In this moment, in this time, in this season, Lord, this church, City Church, St. Anthony's, give us a heart, a true heart of humility. Not just lip service, not just, oh yeah, I'm humble. I love you. Not just words, but love in action. Humility in action. I pray the blessing of the Lord upon your people tonight. Bless them, Lord. Bless them for taking of their time for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, give the Lord a praise. I want you to know this was a hard one for me. This was a hard one for me. Are you honest enough to say it's a hard one for you? If you want prayer tonight before you leave, I want to ask Chuck Vendetti if you'll come down. If you need prayer tonight, you have a hurt, you have your form of leprosy, you have your form of hurt, you have your form of captivity. I don't want to. We got pizza out back. Go eat. But if you need prayer before you do that, I want you to come right down here. We'll pray for you. We love you. If you want some pizza, please go right out those doors. But we'll be down here in a few minutes, okay? Love you guys.